You are listening to a True Gospel Perspective from our Macedonia Baptist Church ministerial staff. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
Most gracious and eternal God, our Father, we come to you this morning thanking you, Heavenly Father, for the privilege, realizing that we have a friend in thee. Lord, we thank you for new mercies this morning. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for this opportunity that you've given us to be in the house of prayer just one more time. And Lord, we pray now that your Holy Spirit might have its way in each of us. We pray that you would open up the hearts of all those who are here, that they might hear your word today, that your word might strengthen and save those who are lost. Lord, we need you today. We're depending on you for everything. Bless us now, O God, is our prayer. May you receive all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' name we do pray, and for his sake. Amen. To our pastor, Pastor Twyman, in his absence, to all of the ministers present, to all of the officers, all of the members, visitors, and friends, to my nephew who's visiting with us today, we greet you in the risen name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as always, we know that it is a privilege to be in the house of prayer. Just one more time. Thank God for this choir this morning. What a friend we have in Jesus. I got a feeling they were somewhere lingering around my study room when I was studying this morning. For the song fits right into our message this morning. I want to call your attention to a familiar passage of scripture found in the book of Psalms. Psalm number 34. I want to read for your hearing the first six verses. Psalm number 34. When you have it, just say amen. Amen. A psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Our message this morning is coming from verse number 6. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. A message to you this morning is everybody ought to cry sometime. Everybody ought to cry sometime. Call out to God. cry unto him. Well, what a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. When I look around this morning, there are plenty of things that ought to make us want to cry. We're living in a fallen world, and everywhere we look, things are in array. They're not right. They're not right in the White House. They're not right in the State House. They're not right in the city county building. They're not right in our schools. They're not right in our homes. They're not right in our churches. And I don't know about you, but everybody ought to cry sometimes. When I think about everything that's going on around us, it's enough. It's enough to make us want to cry. To call out to God, God, why don't you have mercy on us? Why don't you help us in the midst of all that we're going through? Why don't you help us? And everybody. I don't care who you are, or where you come from, or even who you think you are. Everybody ought to cry sometime. Because before you leave this world, you're going to need God sometime. You're going to need him. Now, this particular psalm is a psalm of David. And as written in the inscription, it says that it was a psalm of David that is written on the occasion when he fled from Saul. The story is found in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 21. And it's necessary for us not only to read the background, you can read it when you get home, but you also need to read Psalm number 56. Because this particular psalm and Psalm number 56 go hand in hand. This particular psalm was written as an afterthought. Psalm 56 was written as a repentance psalm. So what you read in Psalms 34 is a result of God, of David having looked back over his life and reflected on all that God had done for him, even when he was in the midst of his sin. Now in 1 Samuel, in the 21st chapter, you'll find that David had fled from Saul. You remember in chapter 17, David had just slew Goliath. He was riding on high, and people were singing his praises, and they were talking about how Saul had killed his thousands, but David had killed his 10,000. Everybody was praising him. Everybody was lifting him up, and things were going good. But Saul got jealous, and he sought to kill David. Yes. And in the 21st chapter of 1 Samuel, we find that David is running. He's fleeing from Saul. And in the midst of his fleeing, he jumps out of the frying pan into the fire. For he ends up in Gath, the hometown of Goliath, whom he had just slayed not too long ago. And some of the king's men recognize David for who he is. That's the one that they sing that song about. He's the one that's been killing all our people. That's him. And so David devises a plan that he's going to escape the king's punishment. And so he pretends to be insane. He starts scratching on the city walls and on the city gates, and he starts letting spittle drip from his beard, and he just acts a fool, literally. He plays crazy. And the king eventually lets him go. David escapes and he finds himself in Adullam, a cave in Adullam. And here he has time to reflect on all that God has done for him. When he looked back on his life, he remembered how God had delivered him from a bear. He remembered how God had delivered him from a lion. He reflected on how God had delivered him from Goliath. And he thinks about all that God has done for him, and he thinks about his situation when he was dealing with Saul chasing him, and he reflects on the fact that he had played crazy. He was pretending to be crazy, and how in the world could God get the glory out of that? There was no glory for God in that. You know, and sometimes as Christians, we forget that we can't just do anything and say that God is helping us. David was playing crazy. That wasn't God delivering him. He was going around acting a fool. That was not God delivering him. But when he thought about it, when he reflected on it in Psalm number 56, David repented, and he asked for God's forgiveness. And then he reflects on it, and he writes this psalm. And he's made up in his mind, first of all, that he's going to rejoice in the Lord at all times. Because he realizes that when he was out there in the world acting a fool, when he's trying to do things on his own, God was still looking out for his good. He was still taking care of him. And so he makes up his mind that he is going to rejoice in the Lord at all times. Yeah. I will bless the Lord at all times, he says. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Not that he's going to hold a praise fest or anything, but just like we're to pray at all times, he's going to praise God without ceasing. Every time he thinks about the goodness of God, he's going to praise his holy name. I don't know about you, but every time I think about the goodness of God, when I think about where he's brought me from, when I'm riding down the highway in my car, I can't help but say, God, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your grace and for keeping me through all the stuff that you brought me through. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And then he goes into a little bit of private devotion. He says that my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. He turns the subject to the Lord. And he thinks about how good the Lord has been to him. Not that he's done anything so good. It wasn't about him, but he's going to make his boast in the Lord. The Lord has been good. And I tell you this morning, by grace have you been saved. Not anything that we have done, but we're saved by the grace of God. In the second verse, in the third verse, he says, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. He encourages all of those corporately who know the goodness of the Lord, whom the Lord has delivered from some trial or some tribulation, to join in with him in magnifying the Lord. And let us lift up his name together. Then, my brothers and sisters, we come back to our text. And our text suggests several things that ought to make us want to cry out to God. The first thing, if we look at that verse, sixth verse once again, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. There are some things that our text suggests that make us want to cry out to God. The first thing that it suggests is that when trouble overwhelms us, When trouble is all around you, you ought to cry out to God. Let me see if I can make you understand what I mean when trouble is all around you. Because there are some things in our lives that make us want to cry. And I don't care who you are, everybody ought to want to cry sometime. When difficulty comes your way, everybody ought to cry sometime. When concerns and anxieties come your way, everybody ought to cry sometime. When trials and misfortune come your way, everybody ought to want to cry sometimes. When burdens and pains and sickness and affliction come your way, I tell you, everybody ought to cry sometime. When misery and suffering come your way, everybody ought to cry sometime. David says that the Lord delivered him from all his trouble. And I tell you, trouble just comes in not only in different ways, but in different forms. It can come in the form of unemployment or employment. It can come in the form of black or white. It can come in the form of rich or poor. You can have trouble with money and without money. But I don't care who you are, everybody ought to cry sometime. Because in the end, money won't save you. Money can't buy you. You can get sick and money can't do anything for you. And I tell you, the only one that you can call on is the Lord our God. What a privilege it is to carry all our trials and all our cares to God. When trouble overwhelms you, everybody ought to cry sometime. Second thing that ought to make you want to cry, when sin has control of your life, you ought to want to cry sometime. For we know that the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. David, as we look back over his life, David was not perfect, but he was a man just like us. And if you read the context of this story, David was doing all kind of things trying to help God out. But he was sinning in all of his doing. Sin was really taking over his life. He was out of control. He had almost slipped and gotten away from God. And I fear sometimes we do the same thing. Sometimes we get so caught up in trying to do what we want to do, we forget about God's purpose. We forget about God's will. And we'll do anything by hook or by crook. And then we'll say, the Lord helped me. Thank God the Lord delivered me. Thank God the Lord brought me through when the Lord didn't have anything to do with it in the first place. That's how David was living. Sin had gotten control of his life. And when he thought about it, it made him want to cry. And I tell you, when we look back over our lives, when we look at the sin in our lives, everybody ought to cry sometime. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, forgive me for the wrong that I've done. Lord, deliver me from my sin. Deliver me from myself. Lord, I need you right now. I need you to help me right now in my situation. I tell you, everybody ought to cry sometime. There's enough going on in our lives that we ought to recognize that we need God in our lives and we can't make it without him. Everybody ought to cry sometime. I'm getting ready to wind up, but there's just one more thing that I want to share with you. When fear of man, when you fear man more than you fear God, you ought to cry sometime. When we look back over David's story, David was running from Saul. We find him fleeing from Saul because Saul wanted to take his life. Then he ends up in the court of the Philistines. And Abimelech, the king, wants to take his life. And so he plays crazy. And so David began to fear man more than he feared God. My brothers and sisters, that's a problem. When you fear man more than you fear God, you got a problem. Because the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. You don't begin to understand until you fear God first. You don't understand until you acknowledge God in your life. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And David says in this psalm that I sought the Lord, and he heard my cry. And I tell you now, if David, who had been anointed and was the king, had to cry out sometime, I tell you, everybody ought to cry sometime. Crying is one of the first things that we learn when we come into this world. A baby cries because he knows that the hearer on the other end is going to help him when he cries out for mercy. He doesn't speak our language, but sometimes all he has to do is just make a noise. And he knows that help is on the way. I tell you, if the king ought to cry sometime, if a baby ought to cry sometime, I tell you that everybody ought to cry sometime. I tell you, and we're not alone in the scriptures when we think about crying out to God. Elijah cried and God revived a dead child. Jehoshaphat cried and God delivered him from death. Hezekiah cried and God gave him the victory. Jesus' disciples cried and Jesus calmed the raging sea. You know, in that story where Jesus calmed the raging sea, when they were out on that ship in the boat, Jesus had gone down in the hinder part of the ship and was laying asleep. But the disciples became afraid and they cried out to Jesus. Even though Jesus was asleep, he heard their cry. I tell you, everybody ought to cry sometimes, because even if you can't see him, I tell you that God can hear your cry. He'll call and he'll answer your prayer. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and delivered him from all his fears. I tell you, everybody ought to cry sometime. When I think about crying, I think about Jesus. I can see him hanging on Golgotha's cross, crying unto the Father, why, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He cried one Friday for you and for me. They had hung him on that old rugged tomb. They had put nails in his hands and nails in his feet. But he kept on dying for you and for me. He died one Friday for you and for me. They took him down and put him in a borrowed tomb. Stayed dead all night Friday night. He stayed dead all night Saturday. But early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in heaven and earth in his hand. I tell you, my brothers and sisters, I don't care what you're going through. You ought to cry sometime. You got to call out to God, and God will hear your cry. He'll deliver you from all your troubles. But you got to call out. Can't nobody do it for you. You got to acknowledge your own weakness. You got to acknowledge that you can't do it in your own strength. But God has all power. Just as he got up from that grave with all power in heaven and earth in his hands, he'll come and see about you. How do I know? I know one Tuesday he came to see about me. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters he lifted me. Now safe am I. Love lifted me.
We hope you enjoyed this message today, and we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.